I'd like to welcome Sam Nelson to Upcoming Discs. And Sam, you are the grandson of Ozzy and Harriet Nelson, who we're going to talk about a little bit today. And we're going to talk about the release of The Adventures of Ozzy and Harriet on DVD, the first two seasons. Of course, this show ran for 14 years, the most successful show of that era, you almost have to say, from fledgling television, 1952 to 1966. So welcome to Upcoming Discs.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thanks for taking the time to be here. So, okay, so as a relative, what kind of input and what was your involvement in getting these DVDs released?
Well, actually, the project for me started about 12 years ago, a little over a decade ago.
Right.
When I was tapped by my Uncle David, who was kind of at the helm of taking charge of the Ozzy and Harriet materials and asset, and he wanted me to help him with it because it had been, you know, buried and mismanaged and, you know, misappropriated for so long, and he just needed help. So I think at the time, too, he was getting a little older. I don't think he was very healthy, honestly, but he hadn't acknowledged that at that point. So I just dove in, and I've been fully involved, really, from beginning on every level. So
okay.
First and foremost, it was about consolidating the materials, which were all over the country, in storage units everywhere, which was crazy. My grandfather, Ozzy, was meticulous, and he just, you know, had copies after copies after copies, because I think at the time, you know, he figured, well, if I got the film, you know, I'm good.
Right.
So I need to copy these films, but, you know, at the time, it was probably exceedingly expensive. I can only imagine how much it cost. And then, you know, just these storage facilities were crazy.
Like, right.
There were so many that literally they were forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some in Arizona. There was, you know, and 435 episodes, alone is a lot of material.
It is.
Copies of 435 episodes on copies is just it's ridiculous.
Right.
So the first probably 3 years of this process was cleaning all of that up, consolidating all of it, and finding a home for the best material. Accessible. I knew full well, you know, my big goal was a restoration project.
Sure.
Really, a matter of, you know, not only just kind of housing it, but figuring out a way to preserve it and to, you know, archive it for the future. And partly the reason that I wanted to take that next step is because when I was doing the storage stuff, there were materials that not only had been forgotten, but they were deteriorating, like to the point of disintegration.
Sure.
Walk into a, you know, a closet that, one example that I talked about is that we were, for one of these accounts, we were account number one.
Right.
And in theory, that sounds like really cool. Like, Ozzy and Harriet's account number one at the storage facility. And I went down there, and they're like, oh yeah, come with us, this is great, you're, you know, can't believe you're here, no, you know, nobody's been here for a while. They open the door, and I'm not joking, it's like, it's a mop closet, it's got a bucket and a mop in the corner.
Oh no.
Tiny bathroom, and there was footage and reels falling over on each other, crushed.
Oh my!
Like the metal reels are bent. I mean, there's footage, you know, film footage everywhere.
Oh,
like, wow, this is horrendous, and it smelled like vinegar, which is an indication that it's literally deteriorating.
Right,
it's just starting to fry.
Right.
So I said, you know, we gotta do something big here. So, anyways, that was the first kind of 2 to 3 years of getting all of that stuff in order.
Sure.
And then it was about figuring out a place to home it. And like I said, with the restoration project as a future endeavor, I wanted the stuff accessible, and I wanted it to be, you know, I didn't want a bunch of red tape.
Right.
Because the stuff, you know, it's complicated.
I'm sure.
Donating material to a museum or a facility or an archive.
Right.
You just got to be careful how you do that. So I was involved in looking around. We had a couple of options at the time, and I went to UCLA, because I'm in with as well. And, you know, firstly, they're accessible, but secondarily, they were, they had already had some of our materials from past relationships with my Uncle David. I tried to, you know,
Exactly.
It worked out great. And they were fantastic, you know, from the beginning. And have been really, you know, seminal and helpful in the restoration project, just in terms of processing and so moving on. As the steps went on to restore, you know, we realized it was extremely complicated. I was looking for help anywhere I could get it.
Yeah.
Crowdsourcing became a thing at that point.
Right.
Which, crowdsourcing, you might or might not know, is, you know, basically have people help you on a project, whatever it be, to
sure.
help fund it, you know, independently.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, the show had been so important for so many decades to these people and to America.
It was.
In general, like, how cool would it be if we involved people?
Sure.
You know, to help in this process of restoration so they could say they had, you know, maybe just a tiny bit. They had, you know, a tiny little fingerprint of responsibility in helping this thing happen. So it was. I had no idea how that was going to go, but that was the next step.
Mm-hmm.
After consolidation, was trying to figure out that.
Yeah.
Because there was very little support from anybody, really, because of the amount of material. Because it's been a mess.
It's a daunting task.
What
you need. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. So that first company that got involved, you know what? We can't do this, and we certainly can't do this for the amount of money that, you know, you're offering from the Kickstarter. So I had to actually learn myself how to start restoring. And I'm in it. I got to do this. So I learned how to color correct, and it's just everything necessary for getting restoration up for film and footage and audio as well.
Right.
With my audio background and knowing what sounds good, all that stuff. So I basically put like a demo reel together of the first two seasons of my work, and then I started submitting those to bigger companies.
Right.
And MPI was a company that we had spoken to, you know, on and off for years. And I had a good relationship with them. Good relationship with Jim Pearson over there, and we started talking, and I sent him what I was working on. He got really excited, and, you know, we just kind of parlayed that conversation into the big kahuna deal to make this whole thing happen the right way. And so, you know, we kind of started back over and went over the materials again, and the amazing thing is, what we have is 35mm film.
Yeah.
So it's not just 16mm. Some elements are 16, which we've had to compile, which I mentioned before, but
right.
35mm is, you know, I mean, put yes. it in a movie theater and watch it, and it's just as pristine and beautiful.
Right. It's natural 4K.
And that, yeah. Sorry?
It's native 4K. 35
yes,
millimeter.
Yes, yes, yes. So, exactly. And, you know, for a historic perspective for me, you know, when I'm dead and gone, you know, we will, I can at least feel proud that we preserve the best of the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not like a bunch of VHF tapes lying around somewhere that's like, those are the, there's the collection.
Yeah.
This is the real deal. As good as it can be. And who knows, maybe in the future it could be better. There's technologies that can make it even crisper.
Right.
But right now it's looking pretty good, and it's sounding pretty good, and I'm pretty proud of the way things have moved. And but yeah, that's kind of where we are today.
Well, here's the thing.
In succession, we're going to be pumping these out as they come. But, you know, kind of in the thick of it right now, and it has definitely been a bear. It's taken up almost, like I said, 12 years of my life.
Right.
It's been a pseudo career for me, which I did not intend.
Right.
But here we are.
Well, here's the natural follow-up question to that. You just described a very arduous process, you know, a very frustrating at times process. That's telling me that there's a passion there that you have for what you're doing. And tell the audience a little bit about that. Where does this passion come from that you would put yourself through this?
You know, somebody asked me that before, and I think, honestly, I think that idea of being really stupid when you go into something new,
yeah,
and you just have no real clue about what you're doing. You just put your best foot forward and jump off the cliff.
Right.
I think if you were to rewind the tape 12 years from now and said, "And I knew what I know now,"
right?
I probably wouldn't do it. So, so if anything, I mean, I guess the answer to that question is I didn't know any better. I think. As this has gone on, I mean, I'm a pretty competitive guy, I think, as it is.
Right.
And as the challenges have popped up, you know, those get me going.
Yeah.
So if somebody says I can't do something, you know, okay, we'll see.
Right.
We'll see. So, you know, that's, I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if that's just, you know, inherent. I'm sure, you know, all the Nelsons have a bit of that in them, that fire to keep things moving. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I a little bit of stupidity and a little bit of competitiveness, maybe those two things.
Well, yeah, and also, I mean, you can't dispute the family connection. I mean, even though you weren't alive when this was going on, this is still your family, and that's got to be a little bit of the reason too.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's tremendous. I mean, my family's tremendous. You know, from my grandfather, who was, you know, he had a law degree.
Yeah.
You know, worked out all the contracts, wrote, directed, produced, owned, you know, everything. You know, did all the music for everything, composed everything. I mean, he's, you know, he's a genius.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my grandmother, who was incredible. And by the way, I'm youngest, but I'm definitely not a spring chicken. I'm coming into, I can't believe it, but I'm about 2 weeks, 3 weeks away from my 48th birthday.
Okay.
So I did have a relationship with my grandma Harriet.
Right.
Actually, growing up quite a bit, we used to go down there with my other grandmother on the Harmon side.
Right.
Pretty much every weekend. So I spent a lot of time with her towards the end of her life, and she actually, when I would go down there, oddly, she'd say, "Hey, you know, because I was separate from the Nelson upbringing."
Right.
You know, I was actually, because of divorces and stuff like that.
Sure.
I ended up with Harmon side more.
Yeah.
Living with my grandmother on the Harmon side. And so she knew, my grandma Harriet knew, you know, I wanted to know more about the family. So
right.
She would say, "Hey, come sit down." And, you know, she had a big cabinet in the living room in Laguna Beach. And she'd open it up, and it was a big old TV, and all of the VCR tapes were sitting there.
Wow.
All the episodes. And we'd watch them together.
Yeah.
We'd have lunch, and we'd sit on the big box plushy carpet.
Yeah.
She's like, "You want to know about the family, sit down, let's watch them." And I would ask her questions and, you know, see my dad as a young guy, ice skating, for example. I was really into ice skating because I was playing hockey. And oh, watch this.
Watch
the tape of your dad's ice skating.
Right.
So it was surreal in that sense, where all our family, basically home movies were documented for all of America to see. But for me, as just, you know, know, a grandson and a Nelson growing up and trying to learn more about my family.
Right. So, and, you know, that's the interesting... Yeah, that's the interesting thing about this show is that in long before there were quote-unquote reality shows or all these celebrity things, you know, put their lives out there and things, this was a, they were fictional stories, but they were a real family. I mean, the these were not, oh yes, they're actors, but these guys were playing the Nelsons. They were, you know, your grandparents, your dad and his brother, the four of them were playing their own family just in fictional situations. So that was unique and kind of groundbreaking that's still being copied today.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I don't, honestly,
I
don't know how any of them did it, honestly. I mean, you wake up every morning, and you go to a set, and you play your family in a show about your family, and then you finish for the day, and then you drive home, and then you go to a house that looks like the set that you just did a show for, pretending to be your family, and then you're your family, and you sit down and actually have dinner as a real, I mean, it's layer after layer after layer of you know, mirrors and mirrors. It's crazy. I don't know how they everybody kept it together, but they did. They did for 14 years. You know what? I take that back. I think I do know in kind of going through this process and learning a lot from my own family now and from my experiences with other people and learning more about, you know, Ozzy and Harriet and Dave and Rick. Like, they were about, they really, really believed in supporting one another.
Yes, you can tell.
They were about being a family. There was no negativity. And there's a through line in the show that there's, you know, there's no, they take pot shots, but there's no, like, jabs. There's no hurtfulness in the show, which I think is why it's so endearing to people. Because you feel safe. You feel, you know, you can kind of screw up, but you're still part of the family. You're still together.
Exactly.
And they circled the wagons for one another, you know, in the show and in life. You know, there was no real resentment.
Yeah. It would have never lasted 14 years. It would have never lasted 14 years if that wasn't true. There's no way they could have kept that up if they hadn't had that dynamic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it. I mean, especially with my dad being so successful. I mean, how easy could that have been for him to be like, I'm out.
Yeah, I don't need this.
He recognized.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he recognized, you know, that what, you know, the bigger picture was keeping that communion between them all together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it helps each other, right? I mean, people say, oh, Ozzy and Harriet wouldn't have stayed on the air if it wasn't for Rick Nelson. But the reality is there would be no Rick Nelson if there wasn't Ozzy and Harriet.
Well, yeah, I think it's a joke. I don't think you could pull one out and say, hey, you know, this, I think Ricky, as he got older and was more a teenager, you know, of course, the ones we're watching now, he's a very young boy. And so we wouldn't have gotten to the Ricky that we all kind of got to know if we hadn't had those earlier years.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you bring up a cool point, because for me growing up, like, a lot of my perception of the show is, you know, my dad singing and you know, being a teenager.
Right.
And being a really beautiful, beautiful human being that you can't keep, you know, take your eyes, I mean, like, that kind of era. But I love the early stuff, which, you know, has been a lesson for me or
mm-hmm.
you know, a process for me, because, like you said, like, I can see him as a little boy.
Yeah. I was a kid in the 70s when they used to syndicate this. You know, they didn't show these earlier ones. The popular syndication ones were when your dad was a teenager and he was singing stuff like that. I think that's what most people saw. I think you're going to find most people never saw these younger, what is he, like 8 years old in these first ones? Yeah, and I think, too, you talked about the family dynamic, and I think, too, that one of the reasons why this is an important release is even if you don't know who these people are and you're not particularly a fan, this is an historical document as well. This was a simpler time. You watch these kids and the things that kids cared about and the things that went on then, and you compare it to today. It was a much more simpler time. It was such a different age that I don't think kids today appreciate existed.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was definitely backlash period, you know, sure. 70s and the hippie era, they all kind of revolted. In the late 60s, they all kind of revolted against, you know, that whole
right
perfect nuclear family
right
ideal that, you know, was pushed down the end of the spec. This is not real. But the point is, like, and I watch it now, too, because, of course, the world is just a completely different universe now than when the show came out. And
right.
I'm, like, fascinated by how this could even pretend to be something real. But
right.
It brings you into a, I think that's the thing. First of all, this, I say this all the time, but and I mean it. Good is good.
Yeah.
That's the through line. It doesn't matter what it is. Good now.
Exactly.
And Ozzie and Harriet encapsulates that. And what I personally think they bring to the table is the sense of, like I said, camaraderie, but a sense of safety.
An innocence.
Like everything is going to be okay.
Yeah. There's an innocence that I don't think people have today.
Absolutely. And it's not like a, how do you put it? It's not aggressive in any way or like showing you what you don't have. They really are about bringing you into their household.
Yeah.
That's why we have, you know, people that come up to us and like, we grew up with your family. Like they literally feel that they're part of our family.
Right.
And that's a tremendous thing to say. But
yeah.
I think that's the power of the show. Is
yeah.
Ozzie and Harriet and Dave and Rick were able to give
right.
to the world
mm-hmm.
and made an environment so safe that people wanted to participate, wanted to be a part of it, and wanted to see these kids grow up,
right.
to see what happened next. And of course, Pop, you know, didn't hurt when he started playing music.
Yeah,
you know, that was a great segue into the next venture. But I think ultimately it was really about just sharing that feeling of like goodness
right.
With the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part I think it carries on. And you know, as they say, home is where the heart is.
Yeah,
and that's where they are.
Well, and I've seen a few episodes so far. I haven't gotten through a lot of them yet, and I will before we do the review. But I will tell you that your efforts to restore they're obvious for something this old and something this uncared for so many decades. I think that the picture quality is quite good. I mean, people are going to listen to that and say, what do you mean good? I just watched something for, yeah, but you're watching something that was done today on digital. And when you look at what you have, I've seen, you know, in my job, I get to see a lot of old TV shows, a ton of old TV shows. And the restoration work that you did is, I think, up in the high range. It's certainly better than the average you see in that kind of stuff. And of course, these are the first two seasons. So my obvious question is, have you done the entire 435 episodes yet? Are we going to see more seasons? What's the plan for releasing this going forward?
Well, that's the plan. I mean, you know, as I don't even know what I would call myself. I'll pretend to call myself an archivist.
Yeah.
But as an archivist, you know, it's really about the totality. So just on a general level, you know, like I said, when I'm dead and gone, I do hope that all of these are restored up to a level that, you know, can carry on without me, the whole season, the whole series.
Right.
And everything, all the elements, you know, not just badly edited, bad versions
yeah.
of things, but everything.
How about the, how far are you so far? I'm sorry.
Well, we're a little bit more than halfway.
Okay.
I can't say we've worked on several of the last season, which, you know, speaking of the quality, the last season was in color.
Right.
And it is phenomenal.
Wow.
Aside from being pristine and beautiful, for me, what's really interesting is, you know, you see details that you just wouldn't see. And quite frankly, I don't think Ozzie really intended for them in the sense that, you know, people were watching crappy, you know, box televisions at the time.
Right.
By the time the print would get to the TV, the quality would, you know, be a little bit subpar.
Sure.
But these are, you know, pristine 35mm films.
Right.
That, you know, in the color, aside from its snapping, there's, you know, stuff that I like. For example, imperfections.
You see,
like, cracks in their eyes. They're starting to form as they're getting older.
Right.
You know, but maybe a little hair dye in the shot. You might not have seen another
sure.
version of it. Or the color of the kitchen, you know.
Right.
Example, which blew my mind. I had no idea because it's all black and white.
Right.
The last, you know, season where it's like a Brady Bunch kitchen. It's like wow. bright oranges and yellows and greens. You're like, whoa, I had no idea. So it's kind of a whole new show towards the end
Well, that was a different time from when it... Yeah, that was a different time from when it started as well. You're talking 1966 as opposed to 1952. There's a lot of life changes happened to our society in those 14 years.
Absolutely, no question. And, you know, you said you're a musician. You know, it's interesting to me to follow the music.
Yes.
I mean, Ozzy, you know, I personally think one of Ozzy's greatest talents was he was like the best A&R man on the planet. And
yeah.
I don't just mean for music, but I mean for, like, actors. He knew immediately the good. He was like, that guy, that's the act, he's amazing. And all of those young celebrities, like a lot of the kids that were on the show,
yeah,
as children, you know, became super successful.
Absolutely.
Either child actors in their own right. I mean, he was great with that. But the music, it's funny to me, not funny, but it's interesting that, you know, it starts off with, you know, the very jazzy kind of rockabilly stuff that
right.
everybody was pioneering at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then towards the 60s, you know, the formula changed. The Beatles came in and
yes.
undercut everybody else. And you can kind of see how musically Ozzy, and certainly my father at the time, was trying to figure out
right.
A direction, you know. But that's just part of the evolution. Like you said, it's just part of the natural evolution of time
yeah.
and history, and it's all there.
And it's obvious from listening to you that it's a labor of love, and I feel honored to speak to you, because I can remember in the late 70s when I had a high school band going on, we covered your dad's garden party, and I remember doing it at a garden party one time, and we were joking the whole time about, hey, you know, Ricky Nelson's not coming to this one. You know, we were joking about it because we thought it was just so cool. We were doing garden party at an actual garden party show, and so I kind of feel a connection to that. So my early years of music, you know, intersected with your father's, and a bit of an inspiration there.
Oh, man, that's really cool. That's really, really cool to hear.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I am very grateful that you took the time out to tell us about this. It's really interesting. I'm loving what I'm seeing so far. I only remember the syndicated episodes as a kid, and what, like I told you, they did the later ones when the show your dad was so much more popular. You know, I don't remember these young ones of him being a young kid. So this is really, really special that you got going here.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, I hope you enjoy it, and hopefully there's a lot more to come.
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, in a year or so, we're talking again about some more releases, because I'll be very disappointed if it doesn't continue at this point.
That makes two of us.
All right. Well, thanks.
Holding my breath.
Yeah, well.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for your time as well, and good luck getting these things finished, and we'll be covering them here. We'll be looking forward to them as you lay them out.